So this morning, I want to share with you something a little different and something I'm usually quite sure of my sources. I came across this many months ago. When I was doing the Vimalakirti Sutra for members of our Sangha. And we did a play. And in sort of doing the research, I came across this Tibetan teacher who had been giving teachings in English, in India, in Delhi, on the Vimalakirti Sutra. And so I was listening to it. This was months and months ago. And all of a sudden, he started talking about something that I had never heard of, but it was sort of very intriguing. I wrote it down. I mean, I kind of stopped the video and I kind of went back and I kind of wrote it down and then I lost it. And then just for some reason the other day, something came up about Vimalakirti and all of a sudden I remember. So I went back and I actually had to kind of move through this 2 or 3 hour presentation, like every 5 minutes to get to the part, but I did find it. And so this teacher was talking about the Vimalakirti Sutra. I think it was sort of in the beginning. And one of the main dramatic points of the sutra is that Vimalakirti, this very enlightened layman, is sick. And so this Tibetan teacher was saying, you know, there are many meanings of what this is. And he was saying in Mahayana Buddhism, there are many types of sicknesses. And then he said, but today I just want to talk about these six sicknesses which are found in the Mahayana. Now, again, let me just say, I have not been able to find any references for these six anywhere. But he was obviously, I don't think he was reading. I think he was remembering from memory because he was sort of translating as he went. So they, you know, they're either his own translations, imprecise, but let me share them with you. But I think they're very, I just was very struck by them. So he called them, he was looking for the right word. He sort of said, like, there are sicknesses of human beings, there's sort of inclinations of ordinary human beings. And then he kind of got on this word. He said, they're like knacks, you know. And again, I don't think we use that quite the way he meant it. You know, it's like usually we say somebody has a knack for something, you know, and usually that's a positive thing. And he was saying, he was calling these the six knacks, that sentient beings seem to have this knack for these things. So let me share with you what he said these six knacks were. And that's knacks, K-N-A-C-K, not a very common word. So the first knack that ordinary people have, inclinations, whatever, is, and again, this is his translation. And he's a kind of Tibetan who's a younger Tibetan, so I think he modernizes it a lot, so I'm not sure what the traditional verbiage was. And again, he didn't do a lot of explanation. He sort of referred that later in the day or something, but I don't think he ever went back to that. Anyhow, the first knack is, we love to be needy. We have a knack for neediness. Right? If we're not needing something, we feel something's wrong. We feel ill at ease. Right? And again, he didn't really talk about it, but why don't we just stop a second and just ask yourself, does that characterize my mind? You know, I mean, just think about, and don't think about it in a negative way. It's like, you know, we wake up in the morning and we need what? We need to go to the bathroom. And then for many of us, we need our coffee, or we need our tea, we need our this, we need our that. And we have many needs, right? We have physical needs. We have desires that are like needs. We have neediness. We have neediness to have people around us, or we have a need to be noticed. We have a need to be liked. We have a need for applause. We have a need for to be connected. So don't think pejoratively. Just think. So close your eyes and think, is that me? If I think about my life, am I needy? And I guess I'd say my own words, is that imply that somehow within us there's this ongoing kind of sense that this moment or whatever is going on is not enough? You know, I need something. I need to be doing something. So again, don't think about neediness like positive, negative. We have all kinds of needs, everyone's unique, but just stop and reflect. Is that true? For some reason, do I have this knack to always be needy? Right? I need people to laugh at my jokes. I need people to call me back when I call them. I need to be noticed. I need to be attended to. I need, you know, just think about your life. I need to know what's going on. I need to check the news every 20 minutes, you know. Needy, needy, needy. I need to know what other people are doing. We have a knack, human beings. We love to be needy. If we're not in a state of neediness, we don't feel comfortable. We always feel we need something. I need to turn the AC down. I need to turn the AC up. I need to do this. I need to go for a walk. I need to relax. I need to just think. Do our minds have a great knack for neediness? A need to be needy, a knack for neediness. I need to get things right. Just check yourself out. I need to be always doing something, accomplishing something. I need to make a new to-do list. I need to knock off my to-do list. Then I need to make another to-do list. Needy, needy, needy. I need to check my Facebook account. I need to see what people are doing. I need to let them know what I'm doing. So this is not pejorative. This is just an acknowledgement that my mind spends a lot of time with this very sense of needing to do, needing to be. Okay, so that one's the next one, they're all very interesting. The next knack that human beings have is we have a knack for being naughty. We love being naughty. So please spend a moment to see. You know, we sort of like being bad. Think about children. They're very disobedient. And some of them will even admit they enjoy being disobedient and naughty. They seem to have a knack for not listening to their parents. They seem to have a knack for actually doing the opposite of what their parents are asking them to do. Some people are attracted to people who are bad. Bad boys, bad girls. People like them, are attracted to them. We have a knack for not listening, for not obeying. We love not to have to listen and obey others. And we love secretly to be naughty, to do things we know we shouldn't be doing. Please spend a moment to ask ourselves, is that true? Somehow, is there a part of me, for some larger and smaller, that, you know, has this knack for being naughty, for being bad, even for being immoral? Don't we like to read about other people who are being naughty, who are being immoral? Isn't that sort of what tabloid journalism and all these kind of gossip rags are about and all these websites? We love to know that people are naughty and read about them. Isn't that interesting? So again, there's no judgment there. They're just acknowledging from childhood. We have this knack for being naughty, for being bad, for being disobedient. Kids and teenagers, they love doing what they're not supposed to be doing. Many of us went through that. Some of us may still be going through that. Ask yourself, is that true? Do I seem to have this natural knack for naughtiness? Oh, that was his word. Now, the next one. We have a knack. We love violence. This may be a little tougher for people. Not that we ourselves necessarily are violent, but we kind of love it. We love reading about it. We know that violence is, so much part of our popular culture, our movies, our TVs. I mean, it's omnipresent. Why is that? Most people do not like to be the victim of other people's violence. And many people do not want to be violent themselves, but yet we seem to be fascinated by it. Seeing movies about it, reading articles about violence, people who are violent, biographies of people who are violent. It's not my personal experience, but I believe there's an incredible gaming industry in our country that many people participate in. And many, many, many of these games are quite violent. People doing violence to one another. We love war movies. War movies have a lot of violence. Cowboy movies. I mean, think about our culture and all the violence that is in it. Why are we so interested in it? Have a knack for violence, human beings. Just reflect on that for a moment in your own life, in your own tastes, popular culture, reading about, And the truth is, for many people on this world, they love to go to war. They love to sign up and go to war. I mean, war is all about violence. And in most countries, it is very deeply enshrined. Popular culture, wrestling, mixed martial arts, boxing. Even a lot of our sports, contact sports, have a certain degree or a great degree of violence. And we love it. So it's interesting, isn't it, that we human beings have this knack for reading about it, observing it, being interested in it, and for many doing it. So we've been through, we love to be needy. We have a knack for being needy, for being bad, for being naughty, for violence. I hope you're doing well so far. And wondering, where did this teaching come from? Has somebody been observing me? The fourth one. We have a knack. We love to be lazy. To be careless. To take the easy way. Please reflect on that. Is that true? In how many parts of my life, even parts that I would say are significant, am I just fundamentally lazy? I know exercise is good for me, but I'm too lazy. I mean, we have all kinds of other excuses, you know, but basically we're just lazy. I know I should be cooking myself a healthy dinner, but I'm just too lazy to do it. I know I should probably meditate more, study more, but, you know, I'm just too lazy. And maybe there are many areas of your life, work life, personal life, relationship life, where we're lazy, we're careless, we don't take care of things. We take the easy way. We even say it, you know, when I come home from work, I just like to be lazy, just sit around and watch TV, watch Netflix, watch whatever we do. I'm just kind of lazy, like being lazy. I know I should probably clean the house, but I'm just too lazy. I know I should clean out that closet, but I'm just too lazy. Clean out the garage, you know, all kinds of things. Right? And again, we don't usually say it that overtly to ourselves, but I mean, we rationalize. But I think fundamentally, if we look at ourselves, just ask yourself, is it true that I'm just lazy? Lots of things I know I should be doing, but, you know, it's not like I'm exhausted, is it? Physically exhausted, well, then rest. I'm just lazy. I'm careless. I just don't take care of things the way they probably need to be taken care of. always looking for the easy way out. So is that true? Please ask yourself. Human beings have a knack for laziness, carelessness. And again, there's no judgment here. It's just sort of like I sense this list of six things was simply a list of kind of, seems to be the way ordinary people are. They seem to just have a proclivity for these things. Please ask yourself, is that true for you, for the people around you? Okay, the fifth one is very interesting too. We love, or we have a knack for being dependent. We love to be dependent on something or someone. We have a knack. We love to feel that we're controlled by somebody else or something. About that. Is that true? I mean, don't we love to say, well, the reason I'm angry is because of this person. They did this, or they didn't do this. It's like, yeah, they're the ones in control. I'm just dependent on them for my emotions. The way I am is dependent on, you know, my childhood. That's why I am the way I am. I'm totally dependent on that, dependent on people, dependent on the situation. I am sort of the victim. Maybe that's another kind of word. With this, we love being the victim. Maybe that speaks to it more. He used the word dependent. We love to be the victim of other people. We love to blame other people, situations, the world, as much as we can. Which really says that I, you know, how I am, who I am, how my life is dependent. Oh, I can't do this. Yeah, victimization, feeling the victim, blaming other people for situation. Well, I don't meditate because of this person or this situation. We love to blame external situations and people. Is that true? Please ask yourself. Do we love to be dependent? We love to be the victim. And again, don't judge. Just kind of go, is this true? if I look actually very objectively at the way I function internally a lot, is that the way I really am? I love to feel dependent on others. You know, to feel other people, other situations have control over me. That's why I'm the way I am. That's why I can't do what I want to do, or that's why I do what I do. You know, it's because of I'm dependent. And according to this teaching, we love it. We have a knack for dependency. And last but not least, we love wrong view. We always feel so alive when we're following wrong view. So again, he didn't do a lot of explanation. Now, in Buddhism, and we'll talk about it in a minute, there's something called right view. So wrong view is, you know, when we see things in a skewed way. Right? So even though everything's impermanent, we go around thinking everything is permanent. Wrong view. And we love it. We hold on to it. We love to, you know, the idea that everything is permanent. No one's going to get sick. No one's going to die. Nothing bad's going to happen. Everybody's going to be good. Everything's going to be okay. Is that true? You know, wrong view. Pleasures, you know, a life pursuing pleasures is the most meaningful life. Wrong view. And yet, we are so energized in our pursuit of pleasures, pursuit of people. Even though we know right view that things are impermanent, yet we're always energetically pursuing permanence. Energetically, you know, look at addicts and you know, look at how much energy they put into, you know, wrong view. Many of our relationships with substances, with objects, with people, that we energetically pursue are fundamentally based on skewed view, distorted views. We even say, I know better, and yet. That shows us we have this great knack for pursuing wrong view. I know this person's really not good for me, but I know this way of living is not really good for me, but we even know that we have distorted views, and yet we energetically pursue them. We seem to have a knack for holding on to wrong views. Isn't that interesting? We love the wrong view, and according to what he read, we feel more alive. You know, right view is kind of boring, kind of dull. But pursuing a life based on wrong view, a lot of juice. You know, it's like, you know, people pursue chaos, and crisis, endless emotionality. Great energy we put into living that way. Trying to control people, trying to make things happen the way we want, all based on wrong view. Trying to help people who don't want to be helped, wrong view, and yet we pursue it. We have a knack for wrong view. Is that true? Please reflect on it. Please reflect for a moment within yourself. Isn't that funny? You'd think I should have a knack for right view. So think about these. Isn't that interesting? Wouldn't it be nice not to have a knack or to love to always be needy, to always think something's wrong, to always need something else? You think it'd be good if human beings had a knack for the opposite. For a knack for being good. A knack for loving nonviolence. A knack for vigilance and discipline. A knack for interdependence or self-responsibility. A knack for right view. So that's where sort of I want to go. So I think, I could find no reference for these six, but I think maybe you would agree they're interesting. And they kind of look at the human situation in ways that we don't think. Just, I think it acknowledges a part of ourselves that we are aware of, but we have never seen in this kind of way that, yeah, human beings seem to love this stuff, this aspect of their life. And yet, those six are the saboteurs of a spiritual life, of a meaningful life, of a happy life. And yet, we have a knack for it. So, just turning it around. The first one would be having a knack or loving not being needy. Having a knack for feeling satisfied with oneself and one's life. Having a sense that in this moment, everything's okay. No matter what's going on, everything's okay. I don't need anything. I mean, that's kind of like deep Zen. I don't need anything to be happy. Wouldn't we rather be in that place and living our life from that place than this life of endless neediness in all directions? I can be happy as long as I have, basic food, shelter. You know, I'm good. Yeah, if other good things come my way, good. But I'm not needy. What if instead of loving being naughty and bad, I love goodness? I love virtue. I love doing right. I love following, a noble way of living. That's what I really love. That's what I naturally have a knack for. You see, the whole idea of knack or love, it's almost like natural. Of course, it's not natural, but there's something about human beings that it's become, it feels so natural. I mean, the level of disobedience and acting out we sort of expect naturally from children these days. And from teenagers these days is quite significant compared to past generations, and yet we think it's what? Just the way they are. So, love to be not needy, love goodness and virtue and doing right. What if we had a knack for nonviolence? What if we just naturally had a knack for doing no harm, the least harm? What if we just had a very natural knack or love of being helpful and supportive and kind and preserving life and protecting life. Human life, animal life, the life of plants and animals. I mean, just that's what human beings have a knack for. And what if that was reflected in our culture, in our media? What if instead of this propensity or love or knack for being lazy and careless, we had a knack for diligence? We had a knack for self-discipline. We had a knack to be precise in life, impeccable in the way we showed up in the world. Quite willing to be energetic in doing what needs to be done, in responding to situations as you know, it's very clear. Dirty dishes in the sink need to be cleaned. Problems need to be taken care of. Sentient beings need to be helped. My spiritual life and transformation needs my full support and energy. I need discipline. And I mean, you know, what if we had a knack for that? Many of us, we don't have a knack. It's a struggle, you know, to be disciplined. I mean, because we're lazy. We have a knack for laziness and carelessness and inattentiveness. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had a knack for attentiveness and for energetic application and joyful effort? What if that became what we love? And I thought that the opposite of that victimization and dependency was we love being empowered. We love being kind of responsible. I mean, I don't blame anyone for anything. I take full responsibility for who I am. Understanding that causes and conditions have helped to create me and mold me, in this moment, I take full responsibility for who I am and for the actions of my body, speech, and mind. I am not the victim of anyone. I cannot blame anyone. What if that's the way we showed up in the world? How would that be? And what if we loved right view? That we had a knack for seeing things clearly as they are and living accordingly. What if we felt more alive when we were living in right view than when we were pursuing wrong view? That's what made us happy. So obviously, when I kind of, and again, these kind of opposites, these are my two cents, okay? I mean, all that was talked about by this Tibetan teacher were these six knacks or sicknesses of sentient beings. So I'm just sort of saying, you know, what would it be like then if we developed new knacks? Things that we were good at, we had a knack for. We had a knack to be satisfied, not to need anything really. We had a knack for goodness and virtue and kindness and all the good qualities and morality. And we had a knack for always wanting to preserve life and take care of life. We had a knack for really staying away from doing harm in all the actions of our body, speech, and mind. And we love being diligent and making right effort and being energetic in the pursuit of all the things that we really know need to be taken care of in this life. And we really just gave up all blame and all victimization of the past, of the future, of conditions, of people, and just stood and said, yeah. Even in all of that, I am responsible for the actions of my body, speech, and mind today. That is the one thing that I can be totally responsible for and not blame anyone else. How empowering that would feel. Yeah, I can live the way I want. That doesn't mean I live alone, I don't live with other people, but it means even in the situations I'm in, the relationships I'm in, I can choose how to show up. It's sort of a life not making excuses anymore. I love to live my life by right view. If it's true that I really get that everything's impermanent, everything is changing, sickness, old age, and death, I'm going to live that way as if, you know, that's my view. If I really understand that everything is arising because of causes and conditions, cause and effect, karma, yeah, I'm going to live with that right view and understand that that's what's going on. If I understand that the pursuit of pleasure and the pursuit of fame and the pursuit of gain are inherently unsuccessful strategies for happiness and well-being and for a good world. You know, if I really understand that fundamentally pursuing a life based on self-centeredness, on always putting my needs and wants first, doesn't work for my own happiness and well-being, creates a lot of suffering, but also is not the basis of a transformative world, then why don't I live my life according to that right view? So we have a few minutes. Please take a moment and just close your eyes and just reflect on what's been shared with you. Again, I was very struck by these teachings. I've never heard it. You know, these are Buddhist teachings, but they're just expressed in a very unique way. And again, it could have been this teacher's take on traditional teachings. We have a love to be needy, to want, to be dissatisfied, to be naughty when no one's looking, to not obey. We're fascinated by violence. We love to read about it, see movies about it, play games about it, and sometimes even participate in it. Many people who engage in violence as soldiers or even criminals say, you know, they never felt more alive than when they were in combat. Interesting. We love to be lazy, careless, take the easy way. We love to blame and be the victim, dependent on others. And we're energized when we're involved in pursuing things that are fundamentally based on wrong view. Is that true? And what would our life be like if we lived the opposite way? If we had a knack for that. I'm getting to like that word, knack. What if we had a knack for not being needy? A knack for goodness and virtue? A knack for preserving and protecting life? A knack for being diligent and disciplined and impeccable in our actions? A knack for being self-responsible for the actions of our body, speech, and mind? And we had a strong knack for living in right view. Please reflect on that. I mean, let's take a few moments. First, do we acknowledge that we have those six necks? those six inclinations, those six sicknesses of human beings? Are we willing to admit to it? And then if we do, and if we see that it's not really supportive of the way I want to be in this life, or certainly the way I want to become in this life, or certainly not the world that I want to live in, the culture I want to support. Very happy to take questions. Again, this is not the usual kind of teaching we do here. I mean, we do lots of Dharma teaching, but as I say, this is very unusual in some of the things that are looked at. Again, I found it very meaningful myself. So I found it insightful. When I thought about myself, or I thought about lots of our culture and people, I thought, wow, insightful. So please chat in your questions. Each of you at the bottom has a chat button, and you press chat, and then you'll have an opportunity to write your question. That'll then be passed through Angie, who's monitoring the screen, and then she will pass them on to me.
So here is a question from Kevin. The six were referred to as sicknesses. Does that mean that the positive opposites are actually the natural state? And if so, what do you think causes the sicknesses?
Kevin, that's another big Dharma talk. I like to give as my two cents, because the text, the Buddhist text that this was taken from, I don't know. I've never read, because the teacher who was teaching them was sort of remembering that, and he was sort of like doing a translation from Tibetan into English. And he was even asking people. I remember when he said, Nak, is that right? You know? So I'm a little reluctant. But these are the sicknesses of ordinary human beings. And from a Buddhist point of view, ordinary human beings are deluded. They're deluded because they really don't understand or see clearly the non-self nature of who and what they are. And so because of that, because essentially human beings have left home, they've left their intrinsic state of well-being that they are born with, because they have left that, and they kind of are endlessly looking for fulfillment and meaning in the world of things and people, all these things arise. And again, they've been going on, thousands and, as long as human beings have around, and made that turn away from their true essence, their true self. And so what's become natural is fundamentally unnatural, but it feels natural, because we are just, this has been our inclination, this is what we see around us, this is what our culture reinforces, right? So So we want, to turn things around. And the best way, so these six sort of positives that I stated or opposites to these kind of negative knacks, certainly are much easier manifested if one is leading a more selfless life, a life that is less based on self, ego, me, I, me, mine. Yeah, and even deeper, if one has a realization, a direct realization, which is not that difficult, through their meditative practice, to see that this supposed solid self really doesn't exist in any real intrinsic way, certainly makes turning things around much easier. Yeah, changing the things we have knacks for. Yes.
Here are a couple that are somewhat related. Raven says, I love this. I'm sure I have plenty of wrong views to amend. Can you please give some more examples of wrong view and the right view to change to? And then Alina says, how do you transform from one act to another, like going from wrong view to right view?
Yeah, so again, we're talking about our spiritual path. This is not like we're going to change a view. So, basically my understanding of what's being said, this whole idea of knack, or we have proclivity toward, or we love, is not like we woke up one day like that. It is like something that we are just so used to that seems so normal, seems so natural, that we just naturally go in that direction, right? So, the first step in changing that is to take the time to reflect on these. Is that true? Do I have these proclivities, these knacks? Do I really love being lazy, being bad, being naughty, or just I'm interested in other people who are lazy and naughty? Right? Do I just really, pursue wrong view because I've always pursued it? So we have to own up to the truth of where we are, not sugarcoat it, but this is where I'm at, And we have to really reflect, as long as I continue to nurture these proclivities in myself, that I don't have to work at, they're just very natural, but as long as I continue to listen to them and nurture them, I am only continuing to strengthen them and take me away, And they're not taking me to a good place. They don't serve me. They actually, some of them sabotage me. One has to, one doesn't just wake up one day and make it and say, I'm going to do it like this, until one has really come to terms with that living that life, let's say, of these six sicknesses or whatever, is fundamentally, unhappy, painful, meaningless, a waste of a life. So please take the time to reflect so we get it, okay? Once we have acknowledged, once we've reflected, once we really get it, now we have some energy, some reason to turn toward cultivating, and everything that I talked about is part of our path, part of our Dharma path, everything that I talked about. Learning to live in the present moment with a sense of well-being and happiness. Learning to live one's life according to the 5 or the 14 mindfulness trainings and be virtuous. A commitment to doing no harm and a commitment to protecting life. Joyful effort is one of our paramitas. Diligence, vigilance. Vigilance means mindfulness. In the five remembrances, the fourth one says, when it enumerates, I can't control sickness, old age, and death. The only thing I have control over are the actions of my body, speech, and mind. That's the same thing that's being said here. And, letting go of wrong view and cultivating right view is something that, it's a process. So this is, but again, we have to be careful that we just don't adopt this new Dharma way without really reflecting on our non-Dharma way. So we get to the point where we really ourselves, not because somebody told us, not because the Buddha told us, or not because Fred told us, or especially not because I know it's good for me. Because that's all external. You know, because we're naughty. We like doing things that aren't good for us. So we have to really get convinced at a deeper level and not take the right path in life because I know it's good for me from the outside, but it's because I really get it. I really get that that other path is a waste of a lifetime for myself and the world. And I want to live differently. There's got to be some energy. Many of us don't have that energy in our practice because we haven't done this kind of reflection. So this is very important. Yes.
So a lot of what I hear you saying points to the relatedness of all of these steps with our views and so forth. And Matt has the observation, it seems as if neediness was counteracted with deep satisfaction of the present moment, then naughtiness, violence, laziness, dependency, and wrong view would also be counteracted.
Yes, with a full realization of that, yeah, that could do. But most of us don't have those such complete, deep, profound realizations like the Buddha that completely sets aside, the unfolding of our patterns of past behavior. So, you know, we have to be aware that even learning to sit and be in a state of goodness in the moment does not offset that these other inclinations aren't going to continually arise. Now, if our capacity to live totally in awareness in the present moment and not be tossed about by any of the arisings of the external world or the internal world, wonderful. But I think most of us, we need a little more structure to our transformation. Yes.
Nina says, this monk was talking about the seeds or the weeds we all have in our storehouse consciousness. We also have the opposite in our storehouses. Is it what we need to water? Yes. And I guess, you know, when Thich Nhat Hanh talks about seeds, he talks about propensities. And so Nina's, I think, asking, would you translate knack as propensity?
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, you know, wherever this teaching came from, I mean, it could very well be this guy, teacher, just made it up, you know. I don't know. Either way, as I say, it just struck me because I'd never seen anything quite like this and saying these things in the way it said it. But yes, that's exactly right. I mean, in Buddhist psychology, the storehouse consciousness, we have these propensities. We have these knacks, right? For that which is healthy, that which is wholesome, that which creates the good, and the opposite. Yeah, and left to our own devices, in other words, being unconscious, we are just tossed around by these knacks. But once we awaken and become mindful and aware, and we have criteria of wholesome and unwholesome, this kind of propensity, that kind of propensity, this kind of knack, that kind of knack, and we could even say, yeah, and historically I have a knack for this, but now I see, you know, I don't, I you know, yeah, I'm very skillful at being naughty. I'm very skillful at being disobedient. I'm a professional at laziness, right? I mean, I can rationalize laziness, you know. I mean, I should write a book, you know, do self-help, health books, helping people who are going to be a little more lazy. But once one kind of gets it, yeah, I think there has to be a turning away and a real clear wanting to know what are those seeds, those propensities that I want to cultivate, so eventually they become knacks. You know, I just do it naturally. Yeah. I think we have time for maybe one more.
Okay, and we have just one last question from Mauricio. He says, chronic illness causes me to ask continually, is this laziness or the body asking for a natural rest?
Obviously, there's a big difference. You know, laziness, as I tried to say earlier, and I'm glad you brought this one, is, you know, if one's really tired, if the house is a mess and we're exhausted because we've been working so hard or we have a physical illness or we have other things, you know, no, that's not laziness. Right, that's something to be taken care of. You know, laziness is when, you know, we have the time and we really have the energy. I'm just lazy. I don't want to do it. I'd rather do what? I'd rather what? I'd rather veg out. I mean, you know, we have raised these things to like cultural icons. You know, I just want to go home and veg out. I just want to be a couch potato. You know, I'm just going to go home and eat comfort food, right? That's what I need. As if food can bring us comfort. Why don't we really bring ourselves? Being uncomfortable is an emotional state. Our mind is seeking nourishment, and we give it comfort food. Yeah, it's so, yeah, Mauricio, no, it's not, you know, if you're in chronic pain and you have illness and you can't do things, that's not lazy. Thank you for clarifying that. So, but again, I mean, we could even have disabilities and still be lazy. But, you know, there's no answer. It's something that we have to know within ourselves. We have to know the true situation. You know, what can I do and what can I do? And there's no clear line. We're, you know, life is a process and we're always testing. And we'll see. You know, is it true that we could always do more? Yes. Is it true that we can do too much? Perhaps yes. You know, but, you know, we're all different and it's an experience. So, you know, when you see life as an experiment and moment-to-moment existence as an endless, you know, creative thing that we enter, you know, how do we know how much we can do? How do we know how clean we could keep our house? How do we know how beautiful we can keep our garden? How well do we know how well we can nurture our relationships, our friendships? How do we know how much energy I can give to benefiting others in the world and taking care of them, especially in this pandemic? Do we really know? Well, life is an experiment. And so we'll end now. Thank you, everyone.